The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters. Welcome also to the third and final part of our interview series with Dr. Catherine Knight, especially featuring the Reality of Everything symposium to be run in June in Wellington. I'm Lindsay Wood. I'm the director of climate strategy company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio, as well as being broadcast at Canterbury on Plains Media and the Wairarapa on Arrow FM. Well, today we're going to go into other aspects of the Reality of Everything symposium, and in particular, how it relates to the role of the media, because the UK predecessor event, which was the National Emergency Briefing, had some pretty strong things to say about the media. And then also we will be talking about decision-making for a climate future, and in particular, a little bit about deliberative democracy. I do hope you enjoy this final episode with Catherine Knight. An unusual feature of the National Emergency Briefing held in the UK was reminding the media of their legal obligation to keep the public informed on emergencies and then calling the media out for failing to do so regarding the climate emergency. And it needs to be said that the UK media largely ignored that briefing, whether it was out of spite or what, I don't know. How do you see that playing out here, Catherine? Does our media even have such legal obligations? And if so, how well are they doing, and how do you hope they will engage with the Reality of Everything symposium?
Yes, so look, I'm not an expert on the media, and so your listeners may have way more expertise than myself. But as I understand it, freedom of the press and editorial independence mean that media organisations can determine their own editorial focus, and there is no legislation that I'm aware of requiring mandatory coverage of climate or environmental issues. But for radio and television, the Broadcasting Standards Code does require accuracy and balance on what they call controversial issues of public importance. So I would say climate change would definitely be one of those. But arguably, reportage of the economy and the environment is not balanced in New Zealand. For instance, articles questioning the benefits of economic growth can be counted generally on one hand. And the idea that growth is always good goes largely unquestioned by the media, despite the huge weight of evidence that it is destroying the life supporting capacity of the planet. And also, as we know, media analysis linking recent weather events with climate change is also rare, as is any reportage linking everyday concerns, such as the cost of living crisis with climate change and the broader polycrisis dynamic. So most people consuming regular media would likely have the impression that things like climate change are a bit bad for sure, but someone is taking care of it, whether it be politicians, clever scientists or researchers or developers of new tech. So, yeah, in terms of how media will play out in New Zealand in respect to the symposium specifically, well, it's really hard to say. But all I can say is that we will be pushing hard to get the symposium covered by the media, and I'm confident there will be some pickup.
Great. Well, I just hope that it's going to be a really great uptake by national media. It's a challenge to them, I know, but that's how they ought to respond. It deserves to be full page spread of the stuff you're putting out in the symposium. I was intrigued and delighted, Catherine, to see that there will be a deliberative democracy strand to the symposium. Can you please give our listeners a snapshot of what the term deliberative democracy refers to in this context, and what motivated you to incorporate it in the symposium?
Yeah, absolutely. So, just a snapshot of deliberative democracy, and I have to emphasise I'm not an expert in this field. Fortunately, we're going to have two of New Zealand's leading experts leading the session, the afternoon session on deliberative democracy, and there's going to be strands of it throughout the whole symposium. So, deliberative democracy is based on the idea that public policy decisions, especially those on complex issues, should be made through reasoned public dialogue rather than through the sum of individual preferences through voting. So deliberative forums such as citizens' assemblies, citizens' juries, and community panels are facilitated processes designed to elicit informed, reflective public judgment rather than reactive opinion. They allow diverse groups to produce wiser and more robust outcomes than top-down decision-making alone. New digital tools such as Pollis, which some people may have heard of, enables large-scale collective sense-making and consensus building, and the symposium will make use of this as well.
Can I just interrupt for a moment and just check in? Did you realize that Catherine Ryan on national radio interviewed the Taiwanese specialist Audrey Tang on the question of digital democracy? Really good interview.
She is indeed, and I'm yet to actually listen to that interview. It's on my list of, but yes, it was. I was intrigued to see that she was interviewing here this week. Really timely. Yeah. So these deliberative democracy tools hold promise as part of a practical governance toolkit aimed at strengthening society's capacity to respond coherently to convergent crises. And it might be worth just touching, Lindsay, on why, more and more people are seeing deliberative democracy as important, as an
Yes,
important
oh, please.
antidote. So the way it's seen is that it's a really potent way to address declining legitimacy of democratic systems, which are being eroded by a range of factors, including polarization and disinformation driven by social media algorithms. The weakening role, sadly, of traditional media, increased inequality, driving concentration of power and interests, which manifest in lobbying and regulatory capture, increased use of urgency in lawmaking, which we've seen a lot of over the last couple of years here in New Zealand too, and the fact that poor governance and decision making are reflected in failure to address the type of long-term wide boundary complex problems posing existential risks to society that we've already sort of canvassed.
I think the word deliberative is worth another emphasis because one of the keys of these processes is to get people to consider very carefully what the topics are and each other's opinions and see if they can reach a more common understanding on it. As you know, I also have a strong interest in such processes. And when you mentioned that it was going to be in the Reality of Everything symposium, my mind ran off in all sorts of directions when I pondered how you might incorporate those into the Reality of Everything symposium. Please expand a little on your objectives and outline for us how you plan to introduce a deliberative democracy theme into the event.
Absolutely. So, in terms of the motivation for including it and our objectives around including this deliberative democracy element, so as we've already sort of talked about, the symposium is focused on setting the agenda or trying to influence the setting of the agenda for government in particular and raising the profile of the poly crisis. And we have recognised there is a need to ensure that there is a way to carry the conversation on beyond the symposium, increasing participation in the initiative beyond the day itself. So, we are going to be demonstrating how complex conversations can be facilitated among a high number of participants using digital tools for direct
Oh,
participation.
great.
and show how it can provide a pathway towards civil action and improved governance and decision making, and also to help create the conditions for transformative change in political culture. And in terms of your question, Lindsay, about how it will be incorporated, so I'll just give a sort of sense of that. As we've also already canvassed, the morning session will foreground critical topics with an emphasis on problem diagnosis and the interconnectedness of issues through a series of expert talks. Then the aim is to bridge the gap between the morning's emphasis on problem diagnosis with a preliminary discussion of action pathways in the afternoon. And this will involve participation throughout the day from the morning by symposium attendees. The idea is to use a tool called Mentimeter, which some listeners may know about, as an interactive tool to collect participants' thoughts, concerns, ideas, and priorities as we start to co-create understanding, clarified shared priorities, and identify areas of consensus or divergence on potential action pathways. So participants' feedback through Mentimeter will help shape the collective intelligence that will contribute to framing a national scale polis conversation about Aotearoa's future, which will be launched after the symposium and open to the public for a period of around 6 months is the plan.
We touched a minute ago on the question of the media, and regardless of how good the Reality of Everything symposium is in itself, I see it as most important that it's not just an isolated event like a ginormous echo chamber, but that there are ways of it being followed up and the ideas kept percolating as widely as possible. I'm sure that that is also on your radar, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on how to maximize the impact beyond the attendees at the actual event. And I can't help being mindful that this is an election year, so I'm most interested in your answer.
Yes, so yes, this has certainly weighed on our minds as well. So firstly, we have that deliberative democracy initiative, which I mentioned, which will extend beyond the symposium itself. We're also looking at partnering with leading New Zealand journalist Bernard Hickey on a Reality of Everything podcast, where he interviews experts on the various topics. And the final part of the symposium will be a facilitated discussion to find out what symposium participants see as next steps, whether it's a letter writing campaign to ministers and industry leaders based on a statement or series of statements emerging from the symposium, regional or local spin-offs of the regional the Reality of Everything symposium, whether it be topic-specific initiatives and so on. So this will be all explored as part of that final session of the symposium. The key thing is that initiatives will be based on the need for collective rather than just individual action, recognising that the polycrisis must be addressed through system change, not just individual behaviour change, you know, such as very worthy individual choices like not eating meat and recycling more, but also the system-wide change.
Well, I do wish you good luck with that. And unfortunately, we really are at the end now, Catherine, and we've had a great discussion. However, before I finally let you go, do you have any last take-home messages you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yes, so my final message is probably, again, that awareness is key. Without full awareness of our human and planetary predicament, we cannot begin to forge a response. And notice I don't use the word solution. Many listeners are likely already very aware, but it is about amplifying the awareness to your neighbours, local body politicians, business leaders, and of course our political leaders. Connecting everyday concerns such as the cost of groceries and insurance with the wider polycrisis is one way to make this all feel more relevant to people. Another final message is please consider, if you're interested, coming along to the symposium, if you can, and noting at this stage that we are planning for it to be in person only. And that is to maximise the opportunity for connection, collaboration and conviviality. Otherwise, perhaps you may wish to follow my Substack in Uncommon Land, which will give regular updates on topics relating to the symposium. And finally, please keep up all of those involved in great work that so many of you are doing to increase community resilience, social well-being, and environmental regeneration in your communities.
Fantastic. A lovely closing message. Thanks, Catherine. And on top of that, I would just remind listeners also that there will be lots of links in the show notes to resources that Catherine has referred to. So thank you so much. It's been a wonderful discussion we've had. And I do just want to thank you as well. You've spent a bit of time on this show thanking other people for their stuff, but you do so much in so many different ways. And this latest initiative, the Reality of Everything Symposium, is a stellar example. So thank you again for everything you do. And we do, of course, wish you great luck with the event in June.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Well, as you know, you're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South Community Access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.